I'd like now to welcome Fraser Goff. He is a geologist, and he's author of the new book, Vias Caldera, A Geologic History. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, this is a great formation that is volcanic originally. Caldera, I guess, is the Spanish word for cauldron. So it's the opposite shape of what we think of as a volcano.
Yes, except a cauldron is also a pot. So if you think about it, it's a giant pot or giant crater.
And so your book is divided into two sections. The first is the formation that we see now, and then the second is how the Vias Caldera got the way it is. What was happening before this incredible formation out in the Hemis Mountains area was there, and what kind of time frame are we talking about?
Well, the time frame that we're talking about really is a gigantic piece of Earth time. It goes from an era we call Precambrian, or 1.6 billion years, all the way to about 14 million years ago. So all those older rocks underlie the caldera and are exposed around the flanks, and the preserved people wanted me to have a section that addressed those older rocks as well as the young, more or less younger stuff that's in the caldera.
And so we're going back to, I mean, you write in your book about continental drift. We're talking about giant plate tectonics.
Yes, again, the preserve wanted me to address a few of these kind of fundamental concepts in geology and relate the caldera to them in the first part of the book.
And so without going into, a whole lessons in geology 101, which we don't have time for on this, but how is it that gigantic masses of land can move huge distances?
Well, it all goes back to the theory of plate tectonics and continental drift, and the reigning dogma is that there is a fluid mantle beneath the crust of the Earth, and that with the heat of the Earth and so forth, that mantle is plastic, and that the plates slowly move over that fluid interior, if you will.
And am I recalling correctly in your book that Ben Franklin was the one who came up with that?
Well, he was one of the first people that actually came up with some kind of a theory for how the Earth's interior would be constructed. And he actually postulated that the crust of the Earth might be floating, if you will, on a semi-fluid interior.
And so the volcano, talk about how the volcano formed and how volcanoes form in the first place. What is a volcano? I mean, we think of disaster movies, but what's going on geologically?
A volcano is a place where magma from somewhere within the Earth vents to the surface and erupts, either as lava flows or lava domes or things that are more common in the popular generic now, like pyroclastic flows. And so it's magma erupting on the surface of the Earth out of a vent, and that's a volcano.
Now, magma being molten rock.
Exactly.
And what are the conditions that make it spew out onto the surface of the Earth?
Well, the locations are often dictated by the structure of the Earth. I mean, in the case of Vias Caldera, the location of such a large volcano, with little volcanoes in it, by the way, is controlled by Earth structure. There's two fundamental big Earth structures in New Mexico, one called the Rio Grande Rift, which is the north-south series of basins that Santa Fe's on the edge of and so forth. But there's another structure that crosses it called the Jemez Volcanic Lineament, and it's an alignment of volcanoes or volcanic centers that stretches from Arizona all the way into Colorado. And Vias is at the intersection of those structures.
And so when it's, I mean, is it a weakness? Is it what we might call a fault in the Earth?
Sure. It could be considered many faults. In this case, it's a system of faults, the Rio Grande Rift, that's stretching apart. And so it's been a place of recurrent volcanism for quite a long period of geologic time. And the Jemez Lineament is more a quote-unquote fly-by-night structure. It's a little bit nebulous, but it's an alignment of volcanic centers. There are some faults associated with that long alignment, but it's not one single fault.
So when in time did the eruption occur that resulted in what we now see and know as the Vitus Caldera.
Yes, that eruption occurred about 1.25 million years ago.
And what happened after that? I would think that a volcanic eruption of that size would have many effects on the surrounding area in weather, plant life, animal life, everything.
No doubt it did, because we're talking about an eruption of magma that's equivalent to 75 cubic miles. So, yes, for example, Pinatubo is only about 10 cubic miles.
Cubic miles?
Yes.
That's huge.
It is huge. So Vias is 75, or 300 cubic kilometers, if you like metric. So, yeah, I mean, you explosively erupt that much material into the atmosphere, and I'm sure it had a profound effect on climate. The ash from the Vias eruption can be found to the east of us, as far as Oklahoma, Texas, Kansas, and so forth. So, sure, I mean, it must have had a profound impact on the vegetation, the climate, the atmosphere, and so forth.
And so then that molten rock dries, and what happens next? How long does it take to transform into something that's stable?
Well, in the Vias case, that eruption is explosive, so when the material is exploded into the sky, it chills in the atmosphere, and it comes down already solidified as pumice and ash mixed with other rock fragments that were exploded out of the crater as it blew up. So it makes a pyroclastic flow or series of pyroclastic flows, and the deposits are the ash beds that you see at Bandler National Monument, those big pink cliffs. Those are part of the ash deposits from that pyroclastic flow eruption. So in the Vias case, we're not really talking about lava like at Hawaii that, you know, flows like a liquid over the surface. We're talking about a magma that explodes and the material quenches or solidifies in the atmosphere and falls down as dry ash, solidified ash mixed with gas, and so it moves like as pyroclastic flows.
Does that volcano and the ash and everything affect what then grows, what vegetation grows in that area?
Yeah, to some degree, although in this desert climate, I mean, you find, for example, the vegetation at Bandelier, this pinyon juniper forest, it can inhabit all kinds of different rocks. It's not restricted just to the Bandelier tuff.
So we're talking, by the way, to Fraser Goff, who is the author of the book Vias Caldera. It's published by the University of New Mexico Press, and I wanted to actually ask you, what was your motivation for writing it? Is this a handbook for people who are visiting the area?
Yes, it was. The motivation comes from the Vias Caldera National Preserve. I have done a lot of work at Vias over the years since 1978, and I'm still working there. And they asked me to write this book and make it something that a person with a driving interest in geoscience or science in general might want to purchase if they wanted to know more about the Vias Caldera geology.
It does, when I'm reading this and looking at the pictures, it really does put you into a mindset where you're forced to think about a time frame which is difficult for the human mind, at least the untrained human mind, to even grasp.
Well, it is, and that's why I added a little, what do you call it, sidebar at the beginning of the book on geologic time.
Right.
To try to give people who don't think in terms of geology some kind of an understanding of how geologists think of geologic time. I mean, it is difficult for the average person to relate to events that happened so long ago.
How do you think about it, and how do you get people thinking about geologic time? I mean, what are the, we think in, you know, our days have minutes in them, and our lives have years in them, and then we die. How do you think, what units are you working with when you talk about geologic time?
I think it depends on the geologist. I tend to work in young volcanic terrain, so a million years and less is a good time frame for me. I think very easily in terms of 1,000 years or events that have an error in time of plus or minus 1,000 years. But there are geologists who work on the oldest earth rocks, and so they think in terms of billions of years. And, you know, sometimes when we get together and we kind of swap time scales, it can be a little confusing for one or the other. But I think in terms of younger time frames.
When was the last time that a volcano erupted that resembled the Valles Caldera volcano?
Yeah, the largest eruption of the Valles size, or the youngest one, is a volcano in Indonesia called Toba, which erupted, as I recall, 75,000 years ago. It's actually a little bigger than Valles, and it created an ash deposit, the Toba tuff, that's somewhat more voluminous than the Bandelier tuff.
And so when you, for example, compare those two, do they tell you things about each other?
Yes, they do. Calderas of the size, of the Valles size, or the Toba size, or Yellowstone National Park is a caldera, Long Valley. Calderas of that size have certain attributes that are similar from caldera to caldera. They have similar internal structures, and they tend to have younger eruptions, smaller ones within the caldera depression. And so there's a certain style and repetitive character to the eruptions and deposits that you can find from caldera to caldera.
What is the actual physical phenomenon that makes the concave shape, that makes the depression in the earth?
Well, that's pretty easy, actually. I mean, if you take 75 cubic miles of magma and then vent it up in the atmosphere, there's a huge vacuum in the earth, and so the floor of the caldera falls in on it, on that vacuum that's created.
And so it's really quite a dramatic and very beautiful landscape to us driving past it, and it's been, lucky for us, preserved. What's happening up there right now? I mean, all sorts of people are working there. You're a geologist studying it.
Well, I can't speak for all the research going on there. I mean, there's biological research and agricultural things. There's the cattle, there's the elk, there's the birds and hummingbirds and all kinds of stuff going up there. I only kind of keep track of the geology, of course, but with the preserve, the creation of the preserve, it's a lot easier now for students and geoscientists to get access to do projects and to conduct research, and it's encouraged by the preserve. They want this kind of research, not just geology, but these other things done to improve our understanding of what's going on up there.
When you study volcanoes and you study rocks and cliffs and all these, and New Mexico must be a wonderful place to be a geologist. We're getting the thumbs up here in the baking company. What does it tell you that's helpful to, you know, how does it make our lives better? Or what kind of understanding do we gain from this?
Well, I mean, there's several things. For example, volcanoes, if you study the ancient ones and the active ones, you can start to get an idea of how to address geologic hazards or volcanic hazards. The
meaning
deposits,
volcanoes that might blow up on your head tomorrow kind of thing?
Exactly. Like all the ones in Indonesia, Japan, and Philippines and so forth. Volcanoes, of course, have a lot of inherent heat, so they are they become places for exploiting geothermal energy, and there's quite a bit of that being done in the western United States. Actually, Valles has a small geothermal system, but very small. You may recall there was a controversy about that a few years ago, and that resource has been retired. But nonetheless, there is a small, viable geothermal resource, one that could produce electricity in Valles. Also, volcanoes are, with all that heat, they also create ore deposits. A lot of the world's ore deposits are hosted in volcanic rocks, old ones, of course. So there's quite a few things that you can learn from volcanoes about environments in the earth where energy can be found, ore deposits can be found, how to address hazards, and so forth. Actually, one of the last projects I had when I worked for Los Alamos was looking at volcanic hazards at active volcanoes.
Well, this is a terrific book, very easy to read even for the non-scientists among us, and full of great photographs of this area.
Well, good. I hope that the public enjoys it. I certainly had fun putting it together.
And Fraser Goff is the author of this book, Valles Caldera, A Geologic History. Thanks so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
You're more than welcome. Thank you for having me.